When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, Kathy here. As you know, we have TV reviews over on our Patreon, and this month we've been really enjoying The Fall of the House of Usher on Netflix, and we decided to do two batches talking about it, so breaking it in half, first four episodes and then the next four episodes, and we thought we'd put the first four on the main feed for anyone to listen to who wants to. And if you want to hear us talking about the next batch, head over to patreon.com/cinemile, where we actually have a 7-day free trial and you can listen to the next bit and unsubscribe and not even pay any money. Bye.
Your Honor, no matter how much evidence stacked against them, the Usher crime family stands stronger and darker than ever before.
Anyone comes after us, we will exhaust our arsenal until the threat's neutralized.
By neutralized, do you mean sued into oblivion on the streets?
Neutralized, like dead.
You guys, we really should get together more often. It's just a balm for the soul.
Hello, patrons.
Hello.
We are here to talk about Netflix's new show, The Fall of the House of Usher. I should say Mike Flanagan's new show.
It's the Flaniverse.
It's part of the Flaniverse, yeah, which is a thing that they try to coin and is very stupid. But for anyone who doesn't know, Mike Flanagan is the sort of a horror writer and director, has done a lot of really good quality Netflix shows. The Haunting of Hill House, which we loved.
Yeah, obsessed.
The sequel, Haunting of Bly Manor, which we did not love and didn't finish. What else? Midnight Mass, which was fantastic.
Loved, was so good.
We loved that. And I'd say that's probably his best one.
The tween show that you watched.
Yeah, you fell off that. The Midnight Club, I think it was called, or something like that. Which was an adaptation of a 90s sort of teen YA thing. Which was okay, I thought.
It's still good.
Still good. Yeah. But Mike Flanagan, also like a great horror director as well. You know, did Doctor Sleep, has done a couple of other Stephen King adaptations, I think.
I love it. He's just firmly in his niche.
Yeah.
Brilliant horror. But I think, and now we're going to go into spoilers for this. So we've received press screeners for it. We're in the middle of a binge. It hasn't come out yet, but the day it comes out, we're going to release this episode. Don't listen until you've watched the first four episodes.
But
which we highly recommend.
Highly recommend watching it. Go watch it. Because it's really good. If you like any of his other stuff, this is up there. This is top tier Flaniverse.
But also, if you don't like, I haven't seen any of his other stuff, but you like Succession, then this is your show.
I don't know. No, I don't
this
think that's right.
This show is Haunting of Hill House meets Succession.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think you can say, if you like Succession, watch this.
I think you can.
I think there are... No, I don't think that's right. I think there are...
If you like awful
things,
rich families, is your show.
There are things in here... There's elements of Succession in this. Even to the point where we were like... we feel like the music is aping Succession at points.
It's just piano, which Succession hasn't painted.
No, but it's very similar. It's like the piano, then the pause, then the strings come in. It was like, well, hang on. But it is also very different to Succession. This is campier. This is gorier. It's more horror.
Mm-hmm.
It is horror. It's horror, thriller, gory.
I think why I like him though is he's like spooky horror. Like he's very much a like horror that you might tell your friends or in a campfire when you're a kid, like ghost story.
Yeah.
Like it's the kind of horror I like, actually. I really like it. It feels right to be released coming up to Halloween. We get some good jump scares out of it. There's a lot of humor in
there's
it.
There's a great mystery throughout this.
And we're on spoilers now, okay? So turn off if you haven't watched it, because I know all our patrons are going to really like the show.
Spoilers for the first four episodes.
And
of
I think
the
there's
Fall
eight,
the
so we're
Usher.
Halfway through.
Yeah.
We are obsessed. We are desperate to binge this show. It's the kind of show that I want to take a day off work to just watch through.
Oh, it's a real binge, isn't it? We haven't had a binge this good in a while.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, do you know, this show just nips along. It's so quick, fast. I don't think it's perfect. I mean, it's a little bit... It's a little bit it's a little bit all over the place sometimes.
It's not.
Like, no. Come on. If one thing I will criticize it for is that they make this big deal in the first episode about, there's an informant amongst us, and mm-hmm. we're going to make, and this is in the trailer as well, and we're going to put a bounty on one of your heads, $50 million to whoever can find the person. And you're like, oh my god, this is awesome. All the siblings are going to be hunting each other, they're going to be trying to bring each other down. But then it kind of just goes, it totally drops that, and nobody is trying to get each other or find out who the informant
dying.
Is. Yeah, but I'm just saying that for me is a failing of the show. They set something up and maybe they'll deliver on that in the second half, but really it got, like, I thought that was going to be a key driver for the siblings and their behavior, but it isn't. It goes straight to Prospero isn't interested in that. He just wants to set up a party, and your man just wants to kill this cat. This criticism is minor, but it is bugging me.
Overall, I'm
having so much fun watching the siblings be mental and be picked off one by one.
But I don't think it's setting up that hunt thing. That's just an element. That's just showing us how awful their family
dynamic
is. Come on,
it makes a big deal of it.
No, Dave, it makes a bigger deal of the fact that they're all killed and
yeah,
that the dad's being haunted. That's the setup.
I love the framing.
That's just texture as to how awful the family is and stuff.
I do love the framework of that. Every time it comes back to him in this old hall house telling his old nemesis this story, and these ghosts are popping up around him.
So
it's really good.
Good.
And oh my god, that actor, what's his name?
The guy playing the dad. I don't know him, but he is phenomenal in this. I just love
the cast.
The
is fantastic in
the
this.
The cast is incredible.
Bruce Greenwood.
All the siblings are incredible. This is why it feels Succession-y to me, aside from the fact of like their filthy wealth, but like I'm so interested in watching every character. There's loads of them. There's more siblings here. I think they're all very well drawn. Like, I understand who they all are from the first episode, really. They're like archetype or whatever. And they're all, you know, loathsome in their own way. And we're just kind of like waiting to see how they all die now. The first death, the young son.
Horrific stuff.
Horrific. And also, what I felt like, he got a really good episode where we really understood his character, where like, he's been given this opportunity to launch a business and he's such a loser that his own, what was his thing again? Blowjobs in a whiskey bar.
Yeah. Glenfiddich. He had a Glenfiddich sponsorship.
Oh my god, like, it was pathetic.
I always admire a show when they bring in a real life product placement for one of the characters to do something about product placement.
Yeah.
Community used to do that really well as well.
Because
the show would have actually been paid by Glenfiddich.
And then it's all building up to his like orgy, and we know he's gonna die. So you're watching it through your fingers of like this horror.
This bothered me so much. I was so infuriated. But I guess it's consistent with this idiot of a character. Like, why would he just like plug into this like what he assumes is water without testing it or anything?
He gave an explanation. Oh, they always clipped a clean water supply on the roof. Now, may we remind
which
you, young man.
Which he was right about.
But may we remind you, young man, that the reason you heard of this building is because you were sitting in a board meeting where they were talking about condemned buildings
that were
potentially contaminating.
But his father calls that out in the following episode, where he's just like, he didn't listen if he'd paid an ounce of attention.
See, that's what I enjoy
all
business. That. And I also love the fact that he's like setting up this like orgy and invites his sister-in-law. Like, that was already fun.
Yeah.
We're loving Elliot from E.T. is back in this. He was in The Haunting of Hill House as well. He's the kind of foolish older brother. So I love that his wife went along, and he kind of seemed really clueless when she was going out and stuff. And then it's just that whole sequence where the woman comes through and she's got the mask on and the whole orgy's happening, and he's like building up to this moment where he turns on the sprinklers, which, even if they weren't filled with acid, I don't actually think is the vibe people are looking for in like a dirty old warehouse.
It'd be so slippy. Imagine the health and safety issues.
It would just be filthy. Like, it would be horrible, even if it hadn't been acid.
But Kathy, what you're describing to me is the reality of what an orgy would be like. It would just be filthy and horrible.
Well,
I'm sure it sounds great in theory.
I'd like to think I'd be in like a clean space and not in a dirty old warehouse. Like,
I know, right?
How do they clean it up so quickly? It can't have been that clean. And then they're all so stupid, they don't spot that this bloody camera's filming them.
And they're so obvious, because when Mark Hamill goes in the next episode, he's just like, yep, camera, there, camera.
I love how the son, though, in fairness to him, was actually like, this is the real moneymaker, I'm filming them and I'm going to blackmail them. So they showed him to be a bit cleverer than what we thought he was.
Yeah.
And particularly,
all his guests to be not clever.
He was going to be blackmailing the wife in particular, the brother whose wife he'd invited, which did feel a bit mean.
But then you can't really blackmail someone if they're wearing a mask.
And then I think you could prove it to them though. And then the kind of ghost lady, we think she might be the devil, shows up and she's like, it's always sweetest the moment before you get it. And then I just love how they framed the orgy shot, how they're all looking up at the ceiling, how his face is in like ecstasy, and then the tap comes on and it's just acid. Like, it was sick.
It was really sick. Very, very memorable, very twisted.
Yeah, so good. On to the next death. Who died next? The sister, the PR sister.
The PR sister,
love
her. So she dies
in
the monkey attack.
She's been in all of them. Did you say she's married?
She's
to
Mike
him?
Flanagan's wife. Yeah.
She's brilliant.
So let's comment quickly on the fact that he's doing the Ryan Murphy American Horror Story thing where, you know, you've got your troupe of actors and they're just playing different roles each time.
So he does bring in some fresh ones.
He always brings in a few fresh, but but for the most part, this is a mixture of the cast of Haunting Hill House, Midnight Mass.
Well, all the four shows we mentioned.
The Midnight, Club.
And the Blind Manor.
I mean, what do you think about that approach, and do you think it kind of works here?
I love it. I think it's really fun. And he brings in new ones as well, like Mark Hamill. That's unreal. And he's really good in this.
He's really fun
freaky
in this.
And I don't think we've seen, or maybe we have seen all the kids before, because I never finished Blind Manor or the other one. But
they're all in other stuff.
I actually like that approach. I think it's a bit of fun once you mix it up a bit and bring new ones in as well. But what I also like is that, say, the character, the blonde PR girl, she's completely different in the other shows, so he's not using them in the same way. And then the main woman who's playing the kind of devil witch character.
Yeah, she was the mom in Hill House, wasn't she? Yeah.
Fair play to her. She gets she's like in full Jessica Fletcher mode. Every person she meets, she's in a different costume, has a different accent.
Yeah.
She's like so unnecessarily disguising herself that I love all that stuff.
I think this show, all these shows are like an actor's dream because it's all scenery chewing over the top campy characters.
She got to be a monkey. Like when she goes into the lab...
And oh,
like
she was good in that.
She kind of claims
she was creepy.
It kind of gives the impression that she's always like, "I'll warn you before I'm going to kill you. Just see if you're a good
person."
Yeah,
she says you shouldn't be here.
But
you
she did say
go in
though.
There.
She did then say to her, "Oh, I would have done it nicely in your sleep, but now I'm doing it this way." So the implication is she's still going to kill
anyway.
Them.
Yeah,
but she's kind of giving them a chance. But she's not really giving them a chance. Like all she said to the young guy was, "Oh, are you sure
it's
you want to go
late.
Ahead? It's not too late. For what?" Like there was
he doesn't know because he's so stupid.
Whereas the blonde one, in fairness, she's like, "You shouldn't be going in there. That's a bit more of a moral test."
Yeah.
Whereas your man was already there having his orgy. Why was he not going in on the sprinklers?
She didn't really give the cat guy.
She didn't give him any
much of a chance except to say that one's not for sale. But
he's rich. Anything's for sale.
So I guess what was her lesson there? But it was you shouldn't just use your influence and your money to.
But it's not really like.
It's not really much of a test.
But the murder in the lab, that was still freaky. But I think the first murder was so good that my murder expectations are high.
It was so elaborate and over the top. I mean, it's going to be hard to top that.
Yeah. But when she then was inside a monkey attacking her, so she seems to like possess animals and stuff as well.
I thought that was a really cool shot where she picks up her phone to take a picture of her and it's the monkey.
I know. Just
like good scare. There's some he knows
he's so
horror
good.
Inside out, he makes very effective scares. Now we should say he's got a number of other directors working on this with him, but the tone is consistent throughout.
But the family dynamic is what's so totally outside of the horror stuff. The family dynamic's brilliant. The money stuff's brilliant. Like, I think this is really flexing. This is stretching beyond horror. Like, this is also...
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's so...
But that's why Mike Flanagan is so good with all his work, because he puts a lot of work into the writing and the dialogue. And all the characters get really juicy, interesting monologues. Like, Bruce Greenwood's monologue in episode 4 about the lemons.
Oh, that was so
good. It's so fun. I know it's very, quote unquote, written, but the writing is so sharp and so incisive and so funny. You make lemon a new adjective for describing cool, and it's like.
And then at the very end, he goes, "And after all that, you can make lemonade."
Yeah. So
it
good.
It was so good, and I think what the central mystery that you reference in the show that's fascinating for us is we're watching him as a young man, seems quite a moralistic character. We're watching him slowly be corrupted.
but we don't know at what point. And his sister's awesome as well. And all that weird shit that happened in the first episode with their mother. Mom. Like, let's not forget that.
I mean, that was so creepy.
That was so creepy. And him and the sister have, I don't know what they've done. We think they've like made a pact with the devil or something for their success.
Yeah, it's definitely a Faustian
pact. But he doesn't, at the end of episode 4, they still don't seem to realise, in the 2 weeks ago bit, they still don't seem to realise that whatever deal they made is finally being...
Well, we don't know.
Whatever cash they've written has finally been checked. Like, whatever check they've written has finally been cashed.
What we know is that the brother and sister, Madeline and what's his name, of the Usher family, they are both now aware that she is there.
But they don't seem to quite recognise her yet.
No, they do. We've seen her. He recognises her. He has that moment. Remember, they get that such a funny scene.
It was so funny.
Mark Hamill, where he kept saying, "In hands." I mean, that's the other thing we should say. This show is laugh out loud funny.
Yeah, we were like, probably laughing.
It's
at that.
Really funny. But he does get an enhanced photo, and they both recognize her. Madeline, the aunt, goes to a specific venue, which I think might be the pub they visited when they first saw her in the flashback, and looks at it significantly. He's looking at her and looking at a wall. Now, what's confusing is that they later see each other about his health issues and don't discuss it.
That's what confused me. That made me hadn't put the threads together.
But they've seen her face and they're thinking about her. And then he had some.
But they're probably thinking. But you're probably, if you're like, okay, we're watching it now. But like, you wouldn't be like, oh, that's the woman we met in the 70s. She hasn't changed at all.
Yeah.
Like they might both be like, I recognize her, but I don't know where.
But
from.
We don't know how that ends. That scene. So that, I think that sort of flashback stuff. So I think she comes back and is a significant person.
We need, and this is another really good thing he did in Haunting of Hill House. He's brilliant at flashbacks. Like, brilliant.
They're all woven together really well.
They're woven together so well.
Do you know what's also really good about the show is that there's so much going on, but it all kind of, there's a real sense of momentum with it.
100%.
They all kind of weave in and out very well.
It's a very rich show. There's always something happening. I think that's why we're so invested in, like, continue to watch it. The final death we've seen so far of the siblings is the older kind of English brother, who's like supposedly the video game creator. And all that stuff that happens with him and the cat, loved it.
Yeah, really
so
fun.
Good. Pure horror.
Well, I gotta say, I didn't look much into the sort of background of the show. I was vaguely aware that it was adapted from a short story from Edgar Allan Poe. But when I looked at the next episode title on Netflix, it was called The Telltale Heart, which I am aware is an Edgar Allan Poe short story. And only then I realized all the episodes are named after Edgar Allan Poe short stories. Which is really interesting.
So I thought it was just based on the house. Okay,
so did I. But he seems to have adapted that as the framework, that whatever that story is, House of the Fall of the House of Usher, it's literally the title. And then each of these sort of deaths is an adaptation of a specific short story.
Clever.
I mean, that's very clever.
I am reading them all when we finish this series. It has to be the sister, then the heart surgeon, scientist sister next time. I mean, she's doing something so unethical. She's doing human, like, she's coming from a good place, but she's doing it and she knows it's wrong.
Yeah.
So she's basically, to her mind, enlisting this poor ill woman and, like, I guess going to put something really dodgy on her heart. But like, then it's interesting.
But she knows it's not ready for human trials.
She knows,
she's,
but
deserves
she
what's
know,
coming to her.
But she doesn't seem to know that her dad has vascular dementia and it's like his race against time, and that's why he's pushing it so much. So that's all fascinating. I love how remember they said the blonde one was the cleverer sister, and how she got her, by the way, sorry, all of their sexual relationships are so fucked up. She's got her her boy and girl PAs who slash
but she had them sign consent forms. I don't think that's even,
it's not legal because illegal. Consent can be revoked at
any
time.
Exactly, that doesn't make any sense.
But the NDAs, I guess, would hold up. But the fact that she made them both wear uniforms, and like when she said, "I'm gonna starfish, and if I don't come twice,"
that's so funny.
But basically, so she anyway, someone said she's the cleverest, and she figured out via them by sending the right people and asking the right questions, I guess, that the sister was like kind of dropping bodies on the monkey side. So there she was really coming at that sister, and there's like a kind of feud that they've talked about.
Yeah,
but there's just so much good stuff going on. I just can't wait to see any more. I'm loving the red-haired sisters plot. So the two legitimate ones, they call all the other ones the bastards. I love that she, that really weird thing where she makes her husband have like fake dinners with escorts, and then she like watches them.
Yeah.
And like, I don't think the husband gets to sex
and she's
with the escort.
She's getting off on it.
The husband just has to have dinner with them.
As far as we can tell, they just have dinner and they role play like a perfect married couple's evening. And that's what she gets off on.
And then the devil one comes in and she's
really
like,
interesting.
I've had such a day. She's like the best actress of all time. I was like, something should be ringing alarm bells for them. She even talks about like grieving her brother. Side note, I love how when the siblings die, none of the other siblings care.
Yeah.
They're just like, ugh.
But they all hate each other.
And then they're trying to make the English guy read out the press statement. And he reads
that
was
so funny. You
know, we are very saddened to announce the death of our sister, aged 35.
So
like,
funny.
Who would say
but this? That was a funny bit of writing, but he sold it so well.
Yeah.
Because he's
really good.
He played, he was one of the few of them who actually had any emotion and empathy.
Yeah.
I think he was the only one who was upset. When Prospero died,
he was friends with Prospero.
He was the only one. He was really
the scene where he gave Prospero
really
Viagra
by
was very fun
dying.
As well.
Yeah,
and we'd
yeah.
seen him and his sister hanging out the night before in the sofa, so we knew he had relationships with those two. I think it's going in order of age, so I think that Prospero was the youngest, then the blondie one.
Oh, maybe.
Then
yeah.
it would be the heart surgeon. Oh no, sorry. Then the English guy. Then I think the heart surgeon. Then the red-haired one. Then finally Elliot from ET. That's
right.
My theory.
Yeah.
Elliot from ET's wife, by the way. Horrific.
Oh, awful
stuff. But then
stuff.
The scene was so funny when he was trying to get her fingerprint and the facial.
he plays comedy really well
he's
as well.
He's really good. He's very camp in this one. He's very different from in The Haunting of Hill House. And then I think the whole mystery of like, what is the dad signed up for and like, what is going on? He keeps talking about how his sister's in the basement in the present. I'm horrified.
Oh, something creepy's down there.
It was so good the first time when he said, my mom's right behind you, and your man refused to turn around, and then we saw her move
oh,
out of the
that
way.
Was so good. Now, he's done that trick before, but it's a very effective
very
trick.
Very effective, yeah.
The other thing that's happening in that scene with the Bruce Greenwood and the investigator is, or the fraud guy, is he keeps getting texts from his granddaughter. He claims they're from his granddaughter. Right?
I forgot that.
It's very specific. He keeps getting texts, and Augie or whatever he's called keeps saying, do you need to get that? Do you need to talk to your granddaughter? And he keeps saying, no, it's fine. So I think he's deliberately invited him here for a purpose. I think that the drink seems quite significant as well, that he keeps the $1 million drink. I think he's maybe poisoned. He's planning to take his own life, and he's taking Augie with him, perhaps. But then he seems to kind of respect him.
Well,
I don't know.
I feel like
he's planning something. He's receiving very specific texts.
On some level, it's like he's acknowledging that he's gone down a wrong path and when we see him as a young guy, like he does at one point try and rail against the kind of the forgeries or whatever. But then on the other hand, he takes great glee in being super evil. Like he offered $50 million bounty on his own kids.
He probably only is confessing because he knows that this guy's about to die. Do you know that's potentially another...
Or also at this point though, and it's a fascinating thing to learn in the first episode, but like all of his kids died over the period of 2 weeks. Like that is some intro to a character. Like he's nothing left to live for. We also meet his wife, which is so disturbing, in that he deliberately married her because she's the person who has ingested more and still alive of his drug than anyone else ever has. And then he even says...
Well, that... Go on.
He says... She says, oh, I'm going to cut down on it. And he's like, don't.
Well, I was thinking about this. This is because at first I was like, I don't really get what's going on here. Like, why did he marry a 20-something Dublin amputee? It's so specific.
It's so
you know?
Specific.
Now
yeah.
She is also in one of the Midnight Mass.
And she's
sorry,
really
the Midnight Club show. She's a great actor.
Yeah, but they had there was no context for it.
Yeah, and
there's
like
we
I don't understand, and they don't give you any background really, except that. But then it all starts to make sense. And then I realized she's a trophy wife, but not in the way of, you know, a traditional old white rich dude would have a beautiful blonde trophy wife. It's like she's a trophy in that she is literally the example of the success of his drug.
Yeah, what his original dream was.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, you're living pain-free.
So she's she's his trophy in that regard,
and
right?
But it's so sad because I think his very first vision of the drug, it did become... Because he was like, that wasn't my drug, that wasn't me. Like, it became what he didn't want. But now he's more evil than ever. I love when we see his old mentor / boss / whatever the hell he was giving this really big speech. And we realize that that's the same speech he had given his kids like half an episode
so
ago.
Good.
The writing is just so
good. No, it's the same episode.
No, but it had been like half an episode beforehand. They weren't like back-to-back scenes.
Oh, sure. Yes,
it was only as the boss was talking, we were like, oh, we've heard all this recently.
Yeah.
There's just so much to talk about with this show. I can't wait to hear what our listeners think they're going to love it.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Also, that guy is a Battlestar Galactica alumni along with Madeline, the aunt.
Madeline, the aunt, is very sinister now. But also, I love that our dynamic with her and his first wife in the past. I think she's going to kill the first wife or something.
Yeah, for sure.
The first wife also did outright say, "I don't like your sister," which is like... Pretty hardcore gauntlet.
Knows that it is going to kill her to allow him to unlock his full potential.
But they're not evil yet, though. Where we still are in the past, in like the 70s or wherever it is, he's still with the first wife. He's got a happy family life. He like reads poetry to her. Like, Madeline doesn't seem evil yet. Madeline just wants to make sure he gets his just desserts around what they foresee as his, they see his inheritance being.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's just fascinating. So I both can't wait. Even though we're at the end, it's so clever that we're going back to two different time periods, and we've a present, but we're both dying to know what happens in both of the two previous periods.
Yeah,
it's so clever. Like, could you imagine how hard it is to write this stuff?
It's very clever. Yeah. It's very well structured, very well thought out. But I also gotta call out just the strength of the dialogue and how and the tone, mm-hmm. how it can just like so deftly be really creepy and horrifying one minute and gross and then laugh out loud funny
yeah
the next.
So clever. So I love it. Yeah, I love
it's a,
all
it's
the
a lot of fun. It's really fun.
I just think it might have peaked at the first guy's death in terms of
the ingeniousness, like, of
how
the death
visual it was.
Yeah. Sure,
like it
yeah.
looked incredible. But that being said, I really enjoyed all the cat shenanigans of the cat, like leaving all this stuff under his pillow, jumping out at him, scratching his eye. Like, that was all fantastic.
I just love the idea of him knocking these walls down with Thor's hammer as well.
I think the end is going to be insane when we're just watching all the dead siblings like lurching around the house. Like, the dad seems to have had always a gift to see dead people, and the sister, because they both saw their mom when she was dead as well.
Did they?
Yeah, the mom was dead, wasn't she? They buried her and everything, and then she came up again.
I thought the implication there was that she wasn't dead. They thought she was dead.
Right.
They buried her alive.
But he definitely sees dead people. And then at the very, very beginning, we see him at the last funeral, and he's definitely seeing your one, the mom from Haunting of Hill House.
Yeah, but that's in the midst of his, you know, quote unquote hallucinations.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I mean, the show with the ghost stuff is implying that could all be in his head. But then there is some genuinely supernatural stuff happening with the mysterious lady. Who is just flitting in and out of...
She still hasn't met Elliot from E.T. yet.
I mean, she turned into a monkey. We saw that. So there is a supernatural...
And she was, I think, a cat. The Elliot from E.T., we've yet to see her meet him, so I can't wait to see how that goes down.
Yeah.
So good. Anyway, we shall be back when we finish the series.
Yes, lots of fun. Let us know what you think if you're halfway through, or maybe you've finished it at this stage.
Yeah, and we shall be back.
And we'll come back
episode.
And we'll do another episode finishing it off. But lots of fun. Keen to hear what you guys think. Chat to us in the comments.
Bye. And don't forget, if you want to listen to the next part, head over to patreon.com/thecinema.